appreciate those that were sung today. And Brother Kenny, I know you're Jesus because he's my Jesus too. And I'm glad that I do. I hope everybody here today knows Jesus as their personal Savior. But the wonderful thing about the gospel is that if you don't know him, you can before you leave this building today. Again, we're so thankful for those that are gathered with us, to those that may be in the parking lot listening on the radio. We're thankful for you and just want you to join in with us. Those of you that are here inside, as I look around the congregation, I see some that are here for their first time. We're glad you're here. I see some that have traveled great distances to be here today, and we so appreciate that here at Crossroads. Sister Virgie, missed you, sister. I'm glad you're able to be with us today. I'm glad you broke out. She's over at the assisted living in Huntington, and she's got a nice place there, but we miss her when she's not here. And she still needs our prayers. She's still trying to gather strength and get strong, and we're praying that that happens. Thank you, Laura, for bringing her. Amen. Any other word on anyone else's heart before we get to the word? If not, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Revelation of John. Last book of the Bible, the Revelation of John. And I'm going to be reading my scripture from the 21st chapter in just a moment. But before I get to that, I just want to share a couple of other verses that kind of give us some idea about this book. A lot of people are shy away from this book because it's hard maybe to understand some of the things that are in there. But this book has purpose. And the very first verse tells us in the first chapter, and again, my reading is going to come from the 21st, but I want to share two verses here. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." That word revelation, it means the disclosure of himself, the disclosure of Jesus and what his will is what it's talking about. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which might shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And then, of course, he begins into the things that he saw and recorded them for us. In the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to begin reading in verse 5. Verse 5. And this is what we find recorded. "And he that sat upon the throne," of course, we're talking about God's throne. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me," John, "write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And I'm going to stop there with my reading lesson. But if you turn over to chapter 22 of this same book is where I'm going to take my text from. And again, in beginning in verse 6, "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true." And I want you to notice that that is a reiteration, isn't it, of what I just read in the fifth verse of the 21st chapter. So it's driving home the point. It's expressing to us just how important it is. The other one says true and faithful. This one says faithful and true. "And these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. And Jesus said, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." My thought for a few moments of time, or the title of my message this morning, is That Heavenly Home. That Heavenly Home. Now, we've gathered today for our homecoming service, and our thoughts, they are on our loved ones who has passed from this life. And our thoughts, I think, may be on our own home going. One day we're going home. I don't know how far or how near it may be for myself or any one of you. But as we gather to worship the Lord together as a body of people, we're thinking about those that have gone on, those that we miss, those that we love. And you may recognize my sermon title from a song that we sing. And this morning you may be, as this song says, and this is the first verse, you may be looking away beyond the dark stream to heaven's fair home of which we oft dream. There millions have gone, its glory to share. If saved, I'm adding that part, we're getting ready to live over there. In this life, I have sold 3 different homes so far. But when I get to heaven, the next verse said, that wonderful home will never be sold. It says we'll live there, we'll ever live there, and I like this part, where no one grows old, where all of the saved, with all of the saved, that home will be mine. Brothers and sisters, we will love the place that Jesus has prepared for us. I don't know about you, but I don't believe there will be a single for sale sign ever in heaven. There won't be. The reason that won't be is because we'll be satisfied with the perfect place that Jesus prepared for us. There'll be no reason to go somewhere else or to move to a different place because we'll be right where the Lord wants us to be in that place that He said that He's gone to prepare for us. And when we get to heaven, when we get to that heavenly home, brothers and sisters, there will be no more sorrow. The Bible tells us there will be no more pain. All sin will be gone. The song said, while the ages roll on. I don't know about you, but I can get on board with that. I sure can. The chorus said this, that heavenly home lies over or beyond Death's Sea. A crossing that, unless the Lord comes back first, every one of us is going to have to make. Some of our loved ones, of us that are gathered here, they made that crossing this past year. But listen, it tells us there, their loved ones I know are waiting for me. I don't know about you, but I've got loved ones that are there already. I've got loved ones there that I believe they're waiting for me. And I believe that many of you that are gathered here today, you also have loved ones waiting for you too. The chorus went on to say, with Jesus we'll live in glory divine. That heavenly home will surely be mine. That's a powerful and positive statement. I want you to get what that verse says. That heavenly home will surely be mine. Surely means certainly. It will certainly be mine. It will definitely be mine. It will absolutely be mine. It will indisputably be mine. I like that. Are you sure this morning that that heavenly home will be yours? Amen, sister. I am. I am sure that that heavenly home will be mine because my name has already been recorded in the book of life. How did that happen? Well, it happened when I surrendered my life to the Lord. It happened when, through repentance and faith, I trusted in Jesus as my Savior and I trusted Him as my Lord. When through that repentance and faith, the Lord removed my burden of sin. He removed that unhappiness that I had in my heart because I knew that I was separated apart from God. I knew that I didn't have any hope because I hadn't put my faith and trust in Him and what He did on the cross of Calvary for me. But you know, when He took that burden and removed it, it was gone. It's gone. Something took its place. Brothers and sisters, what took its place? Joy. There was a peace that came over us when he saved our soul and he placed the indwelling of the Spirit of God within us. And he wrote our name in that Lamb's Book of Life. I'm sure glad that when the Lord writes a name in the Book of Life, he doesn't write it with a pencil. He doesn't write it with something that's got an eraser on it. What he did once and for all is permanent and for all time. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we have to be diligent about obeying the Lord. We've got to be diligent about being about the work of the Lord. We've got to be diligent about telling people about our Jesus because we're one of his own. I don't know who's saved here today, and I don't know who's unsaved today. But you know, and that's what matters. It doesn't matter if I know or not. If you tell me and I know, I rejoice in that with you. But you're the one that needs to know. You're the one that needs to have a surety. You're the one that needs to be sure that your name is written in the book of life. You're the one that needs to be sure that you have received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you can't say that heavenly home will surely be mine, I pray that perhaps something will be said or done in this sermon today that will move you this morning, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, will prick your heart. In other words, he'll open your eyes from the blindness of sin, and you'll see your condition. You'll see your need for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, not only in this life as you walk through this life, but you'll need him eternally when this life is done. And if you call upon him and trust in him with all your heart, the Bible is clear that you'll receive the gift of God. You'll receive the assurance of his promise of everlasting life. My text from the 22nd chapter of Revelation, verse 6, again said this: "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." What was he saying? He was saying that the message of Revelation, he was saying that the disclosure of himself and of his will, he was saying that it is faithful and it is true. It can be trusted. God's word, my friends, is reliable. The message is true. It's not a lie. The message of God's word is not false. It's not a message that was created out of the imagination of man. How do we know this? We know this because the verse just told us that the message is from the same Lord that inspired the prophets of old. And he is the one who has given us the message today of Revelation. He's given us the message of himself and of what his will is. What I'm trying to say is that it's a matter of belief. It's a matter of belief. We either believe or we don't believe that the Scripture is the Word of God. There's no in between. We either believe it or we don't believe it. Brothers and sisters, our first article of faith, that's the very first one out of our 18 articles of faith, it expresses that the Word of God is our only rule of faith and practice. Jesus has done exactly what this verse declares. He has shown us the things which must shortly be done, or in other words, that will come to pass. Listen this morning. Failure to believe the Word of God, it could condemn you for all of eternity. Whoa. That's a little sobering, isn't it? That's a little serious, isn't it? But it's the truth that we need to know. Failure to believe the Word of God can condemn you for all of eternity. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13 and verse 31, he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." The truth of God's Word will never be changed. The truth of God's word will never be abolished. I believe the truth of God's word will be here somewhere in someone's hands when the Lord comes back to gather together his own. The truth of God's word is something that we can look to and go to as we live in this unstable world that we live in today. We got the threat of war. We got the threat of nuclear war and all of these things round about us. But listen, God and his word can provide a stability this world needs. But you know what? It'll take reading the book. And it'll take learning the eternal truths that we find recorded in this book. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Here's what we need to understand. When Jesus came to earth the first time, we know about that record. Born in a stable, born of a Virgin Mary. When he came that first time, he came with a purpose. And that purpose was to show the way to salvation and eternal life. That's why he went to the cross and died. That's why we preach and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be the recipients of that gift that God made the sacrifice for. But when Jesus comes the second time, and he's coming again, that's what the scriptures teach us, the second time will be to pronounce judgment. Those who put their trust in Jesus, those who lived his way, the Bible teaches us, will be raised to eternal life in that heavenly home. Let me read to you, you can turn it over if you want to, what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and beginning in verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," or "we shall not all die," is what that means. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?' The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a happy ending, brothers and sisters, for those of us that know the Lord. But I want you to understand this morning that it will not be a happy ending for everyone. For those who choose, and it's a choice, for those who choose to reject the Word of God, for those who choose to reject Jesus as the Savior, for those who choose to live life any way that they feel like they want to live it, that pleases them, I just want you to understand the truth of God's Word. You will face eternal punishment, and the Bible says in hell. And you may be sitting there thinking, "Preacher, I didn't come here to hear that today." Well, I'm sorry. It's the truth of God's word. You need to hear it. You need to know it. And if you know that that heavenly home will surely be yours, then you need to be praising God that you're not going to experience that. But if you don't have that assurance or that assurity today, you need to know what you're facing before that time comes. Remember my text. My text said, these sayings, they're faithful and they're true. I'm not making up any of this today. You can see as I'm reading from the Word of God that that is the truth. It's the faithful sayings that we find in God's Word. Let's look a little deeper. Let's get back over in Revelation chapter 22. Let's begin with verse 11. I want you to hear this. This time is coming. The Lord's going to come back. Verse 11 says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to this. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And he said, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And he went on to say, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. A better translation of that would probably be whose robes have been washed in the blood of Christ. And then it goes on to say that they that might have a right to the, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of that city. Listen, no one is ever saved by keeping the commandments. And the reason for that is because you can't do it. You don't have the ability to keep the commandments. Verse 15 said, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. What's the point, Pastor? What are you focused on? I'm focused on that the Word of God says we need to be prepared. The scripture I just read gives us an idea of who will be rejected in that day. Those people will not be allowed to enter that heavenly home. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 69, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? In my scripture reading, God himself spoke from the throne of heaven. And he said, these words are true and faithful. In other words, what he's saying is, these things that I have inspired men to write and to record, these things are faithful, they are true, and what he's saying is, they will happen. That it will come to pass. God declared, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God is declaring that he was from the beginning and he will be till the end. He's the creator of all things. All things have their beginning in him. And he will be the end of all things. And all things find their meaning in him so that he can do as he wills. My point is this. The clock is set. The event, it's fixed. Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, but he said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's why we preach as the Lord gives us opportunity. That's why we preach the urgency of being prepared, of being saved before it's too late. That's why Jesus continued in that 24th chapter and in verse 37 and said, but as the days of Noah were, he said, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, for as in the days that were before the flood, we remember the record of that in Genesis. He said, as it was in the days before the flood, he said, they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, as we're going through this life, there's a lot of things, you know, I got a to-do list that Dawn's got for me that's this long. So far, my strategy has been working when she says, you know, you haven't got to that plumbing job yet. And I would tell her, well, it's not plumbing day yet. And when I didn't get to something else she wanted done, I'd say, well, it's not that day for that yet. Sooner or later, those days are coming, and I'm going to have to take care of those things. But I want us to understand there's some things that we can put off. There's some things we can procrastinate about. But listen, salvation is not something you can put off. Salvation is nothing that you can procrastinate and put off to another day. And the reason for that I just read to you, because we don't know if we're going to have another day. All we know is that the Lord's coming back. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now. I don't know. All I know is it's closer today than it's ever been. And listen, it's going to be suddenly. The Bible tells us it's going to be unexpected. You think back to the days of Noah as he was building that ark and he was telling them about what was coming. And they were laughing at him and they were scorning him. But when they got on the ark, Noah and his family, and God shut the door and it started to rain. And it kept raining and it kept raining. I bet it got their attention. I don't know for sure. I just imagined in my mind. But I can see hundreds of people perhaps around that ark, banging on the side of the ark as the waters continue to rise. But they didn't put their faith and trust in the Lord. And they were destroyed. They were taken from this life. Why? The Bible says, because the Lord looked and saw the wickedness in the world, and it grieved in his heart that he'd even made man. The wonderful thing about the Lord is he loves his creation. Sin separated us from God, and he could have left us in that condition, but he didn't. He loved us so much that he had a plan that he put in place before the foundation of the earth, because he knew what man would do. And he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus has provided a means, a way for us to get back into relationship with God the Father. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. He said, no man can come unto the Father except by me. So there's just one way, and it's Jesus' way, because Jesus is the one that provided the sacrifice for sin. He who was sinless took on the sins of the world that we might have opportunity to be reconciled back to the Father. What a blessing that is to all of us. And I'll tell you what's coming is going to be devastating to a world of unbelievers. The Bible says that they will cry out to the rocks and beg for them to fall upon them, that they might hide themselves from the face of God. Let me tell you something, there'll be no hiding from God. He knows everything about us. He knows where we're at all times. He knows the condition of our heart. There'll be no place to hide from him. There'll be no place to hide from his judgment. The minutes of time, well, they're ticking away, brothers and sisters. And the hour will come when that set time arrives. Somebody's telling you when the end of the world's coming, don't believe them, because they don't know. Only the Father knows. But it's set, and it's going to come. Jesus said in the 44th verse of that same 24th chapter of Matthew, his instructions there we find was, therefore be also ready. You also. Not just this one or that one, but ye also. Referring to everyone. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And that's the truth of God's words. His word is truth. His word is faithful. And that brings us down to the question, of course, where will you spend eternity? You ever thought about that? Have you ever given that any real serious thought? What's after this life? We know that people are going to die. We've got cemeteries on both sides of our church filled with people who have passed from this life. So there's no reasonable expectation that the end result is not going to be the same for us unless the Lord comes back. So we should give some thought to where we're going to spend eternity. We should get, and there's only two places, heaven or hell. There's not one without the other. They both exist and they're both real. Do you really believe that, preacher? I've already told you, right here is my rule of faith and practice. This book right here says that it's true. And I believe it because it's in this book. And because it's the Word of God. In that heavenly home that Jesus has gone to prepare, will you spend eternity there? Or will you not? Will you spend eternity in hell? It's a real place. It wasn't prepared for you. The Bible says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But sadly, the Bible says it enlarges itself daily. Why? To make room for those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. To make room for those that rejected the word of Jesus Christ. That's the destination for those who have not given their heart to the Lord through repentance and faith. I wonder this morning, do you have certainty? Do you have surety that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We know whether we do or not because of the experience that we have in this life. I'm a firm believer that the Bible teaches there's a time and a place. The reason I believe that is because if you don't have a time and a place, then where did repentance take place? We have to have a cognizant awareness of our condition. God reveals that through us, through His Word. As they gathered together, the Word said, some planted and some watered. But it said, God is the one that gives the increase. Salvation is a personal experience between you and the Lord, and it's something that you know about yourself because you experienced it. You felt that burden of sin. You repented of your sins. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may not remember the exact date that it occurred. You may not remember the year that it occurred, but your mind and your heart will take you back to that place that you surrendered unto the Lord, and He brought peace to your heart. We don't have salvation and not know we have it. We experience it through Christ and the drawing of the Holy Spirit. We want to extend an invitation this morning. But preacher, it's homecoming. We've got a meal downstairs waiting on us. I know that. But I'm going to tell you right now, nobody likes to eat more than me. But I can wait. If there was a soul here today that's troubled about their spiritual condition and their relationship with God, I could forego that meal for a little while. I can forego that meal. There's nothing better than being fed by the Spirit of God and being able to rejoice in a soul being saved. Let's have a song. I want to give invitation today. That song, that heavenly home, it can surely be yours. And you can enjoy the blessings that God has. Let's stand together. I don't know your hearts. If you've been saved by the grace of God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've been saved. I rejoice in the fact that I know where I'm going. I'm at peace of heart with that. But I'm not at peace of heart about you that aren't prepared and aren't ready to go. And I carry that burden because I want you to go to where the Lord is. And what a wonderful place it'll be. If you're here today, the invitation is before you. You can bow in your seat. You can come to this altar of prayer. Like I said, it's a personal experience between you and the Lord. I can't save you. I can pray for you, and I can pray that, when I mean pray for you, I can't pray your prayer, but I can pray that the Lord hears your prayer, because your prayer is the one that matters. And I can encourage you to keep seeking the Lord until you find peace. But you got to narrow it all down. Forget about all these people that are here. You got to narrow it down to you and the Lord, because that's where it happens, between you and the Lord, while we sing.